Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, got a question for you. It's an easy one, and I bet you've answered it before. And if you're worshiping with us online today, leave your answer in the comments. Okay? Ready? What's your favorite animal? Cat? Dog? Squirrel? Sea otters? Giraffe? Now, what would you say if I told you that your favorite animal says something about your personality? Although there's no hard and fast rule about this, one breakdown from psych2go.net puts it this way. If your favorite animal is a cat, you are determined to pursue your own path in life. If your favorite animal is a dog, you can be playful and carefree while also being loyal and protective. If you said horse, then you will fight to break free if you feel like your freedom is being restricted. If your favorite animal is an elephant, then you care for others even if it's not reciprocated. Then you're always working toward the common good. If you said giraffe, you're able to see the bigger picture in life. If you said lion, then you like being a strong leader. If you said monkey, then you are playful and carefree, independent and flexible. If you said fox, then you are great at strategizing and tend to get what you want. If you said turtle, you are probably an introvert and prefer time by yourself. All right, I could go on, but you get the point. Now, if I described your animal, did that sound like your personality? Of course, there are plenty of other animals out there that can reflect your personality, too. But now, let's flip it around. If somebody else had to pick an animal to describe you, what would they say? Would they pick the same one you picked as your favorite? Maybe somebody might see you as a strong leader like a lion. Maybe they'd say you're crafty as a fox. Maybe they'd call you a protective mama bear. They might even insult you by calling you a male donkey or a female dog. Think it through. They might also make fun of you and call you a chicken. Has ever been called chicken? I know it means being a coward, but how do the two ever get put together? Are chickens really cowardly? I don't know. Somebody who raises chickens would know that better than I would. But whatever the case, if they call you a chicken, it's not a compliment. Now, what animal would you use to describe Jesus? Maybe the first one that comes to mind is the lion. Like the lion of the tribe of Judah, or Aslan from Chronicles of Narnia. Or maybe you think of Jesus like John the Baptist did, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right, a lamb is a humble image. And the image of a lamb being sacrificed is often used for Jesus. But then again, he is also the lamb who was slain, who has begun to reign. So he's a lamb, but he's powerful. Right? It's a paradoxical image. But what animal would Jesus pick for himself? I'm not sure if Jesus had a favorite animal. But he did use an animal to describe his personality. And we hear it in today's gospel reading. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus sees himself as a mother hen. Now, although hen wasn't in the list I gave that described personality types, we can probably figure out what it would say. Right? If you picked hen, then you are fiercely loving of your brood. You want to protect them and keep them safe. You want them to take refuge with you so that you can protect them against all the foxes of the world. Yeah, I can see that with Jesus. And, as it turns out, he talks about the fox, too. Right, this scene opens with some Pharisees trying to warn Jesus that Herod's out to get him. Now remember, Jesus and the Pharisees usually butted heads with each other. But here, they seem to be giving him a warning. So either they're genuinely trying to protect him, they're trying to threaten him, or they're trying to trick him. Now remember, there were some Pharisees who were on his side, like Nicodemus. So it's not clear what their real motivation is here. But whatever the case, Jesus says, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." So in other words, in this reading, we basically have the fox versus the hen here. And just based on the imagery, we can sort of tell who's going to win, right? Nobody ever thinks of chickens taking down foxes. Sure, there's illegal cockfighting where people train roosters to fight, but that's usually fighting other roosters, not fighting foxes. And in one sense, the fox does win here. Right? Jesus knows that he's going to die. And he knows that Jerusalem will not listen to him, and that they will kill him just like they did the prophets who came before. Now, a quick word here about what he means by Jerusalem. Right? He's not talking about all the Jewish people. He's not even talking about all the people who live in Jerusalem. He's talking about the leaders, the powers that be, right? Those who are in control. It would be very similar to someone today criticizing Washington, D.C. They're not criticizing the common people who live and work there. They're criticizing the politicians and the powers that be, those who are symbolized by that city. And so when Jesus says his line here about Jerusalem, he's saying that those with power in Jerusalem have used that power to kill the prophets. Now, Jesus loves Jerusalem. Right? It is basically another character in the Gospel of Luke. But Jerusalem doesn't always make the smartest choices. And yet Jesus still wants to gather the people together under his wings and protect them. Now today we know the situation of Jerusalem too. We know how it feels when the powers that be on the global stage act like foxes who want to devour innocent chickens. We've seen the imagery of the chicken coop being destroyed, so to speak, and the chickens either being killed or fleeing for their lives. I can imagine Jesus reaching his arms wide open to gather all of those innocent chickens into his embrace. And that includes all of us, too, which is wonderful. But the sad thing is, sometimes we don't want it. Oh, sure, we say we do. We say things like, you can have all the rest, give me Jesus. But quite often we still go after power and strength and control. Think about your favorite animals again. What does your animal say about you? Does it show strength and independence? Does it show loyalty and protection? Does it show courage and love? I doubt that any of us picked an animal that would show weakness and frailty. Think about our own nation, too. Right? The animal symbol for the United States is the bald eagle. It is strong and majestic, powerful and dominating, beautiful and graceful. So if we had to pick, which team would we want to be on? Team eagle or team chicken? Right? That's basically the choice that the people back in Jesus' day faced too. And we know what many of them chose. And yet the good news is that Jesus still stretched his wings wide open and died for them. He died for us. He died for you. In August of 2013, Austrian artist Deborah Singel unveiled a new piece of art that stirred up a lot of controversy. It was a crucified chicken. A Christian group called the Observatory of Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, how's that for a name? They made it known that they found the image offensive. And Singel claimed that it was more of a commentary about how animals are butchered for food preparation than it was a commentary on Christianity. But either way, many Christians were disturbed by the image. And yet, maybe it's not such a bad image after all. It shows that mother hen with protective wings outstretched, providing refuge and safety for all the scared little chickens of the world. She gives up her very life in order to protect their lives. It's not the strong and powerful image of Jesus we might want. Right? This is not Aslan, King of Narnia. But it is exactly the kind of image we desperately need. Right? It means that no matter what forces are at work in the world, no matter what decisions are made by powers that be or powers that want to be, we can always find shelter in Jesus. Now, yes, that doesn't mean we're not affected by what's going on in the world. We know that we are. Right? You filled up your gas tank in the last week? I'm not saying we should bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich. But I am saying that when things are a mess in this world, when the foxes are on the prowl, when those in charge don't listen to prophetic voices, then we can still take refuge under the wings of the one who died for us. So maybe it's not such a bad thing if someone calls you a chicken. You can say, yeah, I know I'm not as brave and courageous as I want others to think I am. I know that many people just fatten me up so they can tear me apart later. But no matter who comes to attack me, no matter what happens in life, I know the one who is stronger than anything I face. He gave his life so that I might live. He shows strength not by force, but by love. He is Jesus, and I find peace in him. So, a new question. How many of you now have the hen as your favorite animal? In the name of the one who covers you with his wings, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.